know it's the middle of finals. If everybody, people do have to leave early or study, hopefully we'll be done in a half hour, not more than 35 minutes. We're not there. I appreciate the efforts that everybody has made to come during the time that they certainly have plenty of things to do. In the past few months that I've been here schmoozing with guys, there's a big tension that people have. Tension between you want to do well in school, tension between your learning, your avodas Hashem, your davening, and compared to previous experiences, we had more options to learn. It's a new tension. On the other hand, compared to where life is going to take us in the future, the tension doesn't diminish. I remember hearing from the Ashkiach of Lakewood, Matsio Solomon. He pointed out, you know, he was talking to boys in yeshiva, not in Wyatt, in Lakewood, where, you know, you're learning a whole day. He's pointing out, he gave a vod for people who are about to start dating. And he said that from the time that you begin dating, for the rest of your life, your responsibilities are going to only increase. Start dating, then you're going to have those things on your mind, get engaged, you'll have a wedding on your mind, you get married, you have a wife on your mind, after a while, you have children on your mind, after that, you have grandchildren on your mind, you're marrying off your children. It only increases. So I wanted to take a few minutes to think a little bit ahead and try to prepare ourselves while we can, while it's more easy, now, so we could be more prepared for our future. There is a wonderful letter that Rav Huttner writes in Igros Mustafa and Tachet Yitzchak. I think it's Simon and Hey, I don't remember exactly. There, where a young man who learns in Chaim Berlin and writes to his Rosh Hashiva that he's very troubled by what he feels is leaving a double life. Chaimus with Salim, he feels scatterbrained. On one hand, he has his little bit of learning and davening, and on the other hand, he has his responsibilities to make a parnas, and he feels very scatterbrained in his perspective, and he doesn't feel like a whole person. Rav Huttner describes with the following mashal what he's feeling and what he ought to feel. Rav Huttner says that if a person rents one apartment for him to live in, then he rents another apartment for him to stay, to hang out in, to be a guest in, yes, that's called a double life, and it's very hard to live like that. But there's another way to do it. A person could rent a two-room apartment. A person has a two-room apartment. This is not Chaim Mefutzalim, this is not a double life, this is Chaim Meruvachim. This is an expansive life, meaning something that incorporates a lot of different factors into one rich, beautiful life. Now, how does one do that? In order to perceive a person's ultimate goals, career, whether the career is in Avodas Hashem, Avodas HaKodesh, whether it's in some other thing that's not Avodas HaKodesh, but is no less necessarily Avodas Hashem, how do you incorporate those future goals into your Chaim such that it becomes not a Chaim of Itzalm, a scattered life, but a more expanded, enriched life? Why is it important to discuss it now? My chavrusa told me that he heard from a Twersky a few years ago that a few weeks ago we had the parasha of Yaakov's dream. Yaakov, after sitting in Beis Medrash for 14 years, after growing up in Beis Yitzchak, he's now about to face Beis Lav. But it's more than that. He's about to get married and have to support a family. Here he has to have a dream. He has to have a dream to figure out how, specifically here he has to have a dream, to figure out how he's going to make it in the Golas, how he's going to deal with all the circumstances, all the challenges that are going to present themselves as he involves himself in this world, in matters of this world. And specifically at this point, Yaakov had to have the dream. While he was steeped in the Torah that he learned in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva, while he was steeped in the Beis Medrash of his father, because that's when a person is able to have the priorities, a person is able to have the focus, the perspective of how he wants to look. A beautiful thought, not a thought, an experience that somebody mentioned here earlier in the year, I think he mentioned this in the CAF. A boy in our yeshiva was in Columbia University for a few months, and he wasn't sure if he should stay or not, so somebody gave him an eitzah during the summer before he began, that he should write for himself what his goals, what his ideals are in his ruach, in Avodas Hashem, and look at them after the first semester at Columbia, and see if he lived up to what he wanted to live up to, or he hasn't been living up to what he expected or wanted to be at the end of the half a year. And at the end of the half a year, he saw that he had shifted from where he initially thought he ought to be and wanted to be, and when he was spending the summer learning and having come back from Eretz Yisrael, I think. And that's why he switched to YU, because he saw that he had shifted from where he was. There's a yisod that while a person's here in yeshiva and whether you're involved in other things, you're not involved in other things. Now, right now, you're in a Torah environment. Now's the time to create for yourself the perspective. So how do we do that? In order to understand how to create an expansive, rich life that incorporates all different kinds of things, you have to understand the tachlis of life. And there's a fascinating Rambam that I urge you all to look at. The Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis. I'm sorry, the Rambam in his Shmona Prakim, which is Hakzama to Pirkei Avos. I think it's Perkei or Perek Vav. A short shtickle. The language is not so difficult. He sets down a very fundamental yisod that really could guide a person throughout all of his experiences, all of his varied experiences in all aspects of life. He says a yisod that we might be familiar with in all different ways of articulating it, but says the Rambam that a person has one goal in life. A person's life, goal in life is lahasig ha'elokim v'tachlis yicholta. To grasp, to comprehend, not just intellectually, but to grasp Hashem as much as a person is able. And to do that, or while a person, to reach that, a person has to live in this world and be mekayem mitzvot to do that. But everything in the world that a person does has to be channeled in that direction. The Rambam speaks out, articulates in the Mefurish, all the eating, sleeping, the rest that a person rests, the activity that a person is active, all those things are just means for him to be healthy, both mentally and physically, and be Ovid Hashem properly. He even says, he even points out that sometimes a person, what he calls Mara Shchora, which in olden days was called black bile, which in our modern terminology would be called melancholy or depression, says a person is depressed, he should walk around, take walks in ginos, in pretty gardens, he should look at nice buildings, he should listen to music. All these things are not at the expense of my Avodah Hashem. This is all part of my Avodah Hashem, so I could be happy, so I could be healthy, physically and emotionally, and serve Hashem better. Now, when a person has that perspective of what a person's goal is, the question arises, so how do I incorporate whatever professional goals, again, whether it's Avodah HaKodesh or not Avodah HaKodesh, into that serving Hashem. So here's where Bitachon, Hishtadlus, and all those things come in. And we're going to try to describe them. We'll try to introduce a tiny bit, and little by little, get a little deeper and deeper and deeper until the end. And again, this is a topic that a person could give a vod for, you know, nightly for months and months. But we'll try to touch on some fundamentals. In the secular world, the idea of Bitachon doesn't exist. The idea of success is completely rooted. Certainly the American ideal of success is you work hard, you get it. Hopefully, if you get a strike of luck, you'll get it. If you work hard, it's all up to you. That's a secular approach, completely devoid of anybody, any higher, anything running the show. And the contrast to the last daf of, we're all learning Kedusha now. So if you look at the very last daf, there's a Gemara that's so profound, yet so cute at the same time. The Gemara says, there's a lashon in the Mishnah, there's a braisa on the last few lines of the Maseches Kedushin, where one of the Amoraim points out that I never saw I don't remember the exact, I'll try to make up the Mishalim, but this is basically paralleling the lashon of the Gemara. I never saw a reindeer, you know, working as a bellboy in a hotel. I never saw an ox working as a, you know, guy working the fields harvesting the crop. And yet they all seem to be misparnis. They all have what they need. They live, they're healthy, they produce, they do whatever they have to do. And they were only created l'sham sheni, to serve me. And I, who was created l'sham sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Allah has come v'kama, that I will be able to have a parnasa shalom b'tzar. Except for what? Except I messed myself up. I don't know if the Gemara means, Rashi doesn't point out, but I'm not sure if it means I messed myself up, meaning with Chet Adam HaRishon, which is mechayev that there has to be a hishtadlus olam hazeh. I don't know if it means that each individual person messed himself up with whatever, in whatever way he has tainted himself in his past, and therefore he doesn't have the bracha of things coming his way, shalom b'tzar. But that's the perspective of the Gemara and Kedushin. That ultimately Hashem can provide, he might not, right? The maskar of the Gemara is that because we messed ourselves up, or Adam HaRishon messed humanity up, we don't have that bracha, but essentially things can come from Hashem and ought to come from Hashem. Now this perspective that things don't come from me is obviously not natural. Some midos, I think, come naturally to a person. They think a little bit about it. This is specifically a mido that's very hard if you're just, you know, going with the flow of life to be sensitive to be aware of, unless a person sits down, thinks, learns, which is fascinating. And before, I'll just be honest, before I learned Chol HaKol HaVav HaShav Bitachon, I was a much bigger butte. I thought, you really have to trust in Hashem, you can't do any hishtadlis, until I learned Chol HaKol HaVav HaShav. And he said, told me just the opposite. He showed to you, he explains how exactly the chiv hishtadlis the person has, and the person has to be mishtadl, except we'll mention in a moment, with the, there might be one or two exceptions that it's hard to, I don't know anyone who might meet those exceptions, maybe one person, there's one guy in the mirror, one person in the mirror that maybe I could imagine fits in the criteria that Chol HaKol HaVav HaShav says does not have to do any hishtadlis. But other than that, most 99.9% of humanity has a chiyuv of hishtadlis to do what he has to do to make himself be successful. And that's what comes out after I read Chol HaKol HaVav HaShav. I also just like, I always used to wonder when I was in yeshiva, is exercising at the expense of learning? Is it part of, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it hishtadlis? Is it pitachon? After you read Chol HaKol HaVav HaShav, it seems that Dara Pasha, that's a good thing, that a person should exercise to keep himself healthy. Just to take an argument out of absurdium to an absurd point, Chosalos points out, let's say a person has such a complete bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he said, I'm not going to lift a fork to my mouth because I'm something that Hashem will provide for me. I won't even lift a fork to my mouth. If a person dies because of starvation, Chosalos points out that he is going to be mischayev in Asher, he committed to this, and he's going to be chayev on accounting for himself. My sister-in-law told me a mashal that oftentimes, the mashal ma'adavar dom, a person is in a flood, and he's drowning. And a little, I see some smiles, if you'll hear it, a little rowboat comes and says, here, let me save you. No, finally the waters get higher and higher, they send out a big, you know, the Coast Guard sends out a cutter, and no, I'm waiting for Hashem. Finally the helicopter comes, and as the water's getting higher and higher, and they drop down a ladder, I'm, you know, no thanks, I'm waiting for Hashem. Finally, he goes up to Shemayim, unfortunately he drowned, and he goes to Hashem, he says, you know, I was waiting for you, where were you? He said, who do you think was the rowboat? Who do you think was the Coast Guard cutter? And who do you think was the helicopter? So that's a what we could call a flawed perspective of what bitachon means. Hashem sends us opportunities for us to take. We're going to discuss how a person knows what opportunities to take and what not. The Yesod HaYesodos is Shai Bitachon Perek Gimel, where he says, after we just saw the Gemara in Kiddushin, where Hashem really, if he could do everything, provides for all the animals, so why can't he provide? So where is there any room for Ishtadlis? Hashem could do whatever he wants and provide whatever we need. Not only where is the need for Ishtadlis, but why did Hashem create the world that there is a need for Ishtadlis? In a different sense of the word, Adam HaRishon Kodem Lachet. Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that he had a good life. He had Malachi Hashoyis would roast meat for him every day, and that would be his food. He didn't have to do any hishtadlis. After his faith was, why can't we continue like that? Chol HaKol HaVav sets down a very fundamental yesod, why a person has to work, why the world is created, that a person has to do hishtadlis. It wasn't beyond Hashem to create a world that was where it wasn't necessary. A person has to work. It could be in Klei Kodesh. But a person has to work for the following two reasons. The first one sounds funny, the second one sounds a little more appropriate to us, but if we think about the first one also, there's a lot of depth. In Hashem's great graciousness, He gave us work to keep us busy. Because if a person wasn't kept busy with his work, college, or whatever it will be, a person would be rodeif achar tavos. He would just run after his own, you know, his own desires, and would just not focus on things that he ought to focus on and get involved in things that he ought not get involved in. To keep us busy, nothing more. To keep us busy, and there's going to be enough gemina that we'll see in a minute and a half. The second idea of why. The second idea that Chol HaKol HaVav says why a person has to work is, and this is a very fundamental yesod. Man is created lacking. By definition, we lack all the things that we need, whether it be food, shelter, clothing, all the things, all the pleasures of the world that we don't have as a part of us, we have to get from without us, from outside of us, are all things that we inherently lack, and we have to go elsewhere to find. We're not self-sufficient. Now, in every pleasure of this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer, how much of that very specific pleasure each individual will have. If a person is supposed to have this much gishmak from food, or this beautiful interior decorating in his house, and this, and a wife this attractive, all that is kotzev by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meirosh. Now listen to this. Hashem allows that level of hanah to be achieved through Darkei Heter. It could potentially be achieved through Darkei Yisro also, but that ultimate allotment is potentially achievable through permissible means. A. B. Whatever a person does, no matter what he tries to do, man cannot increase that level that was nigzar upon him. That means if it was nigzar upon me to live in a 4-bedroom house with a small garage that fits one car, I could work as hard as I can and get to Wharton Business School and go to the top firms, whatever it will be. I'll never get a 2-car garage. I'll never get a 5th bedroom in my house. Hashem would go there a certain level. No matter what we do, we will not break that line. No matter what we do, we cannot. So first, Gemara in Essence. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, "Mezonosah shel adam k'tzuvim lo Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah, chutz me'atzas Shabbos v'yom tovim me'atzas ba'al l'tam l'tovim." Now, each Rosh Hashanah person gets his kitzvah, as they say, and that's where it stands. Now, why does Hashem set us up that we have to work as follows? In order for a person to have bechira and ultimately to earn his star, Hashem sets us up that, let's say, this is the goal. The goal is to get that. Now Hashem sets up a circumstance where I could reach that through here or through there. Now the hishtablus is that mechanism, is that emtza'i through which a person could achieve that goal, proving to whether it be himself or Hashem that he is an Eved Hashem. In other words, the person's hishtablus, that a person is mishtadel, is nothing more than a nisayon, than an opportunity to be bocher betov, how to get that which Hashem was anyway goes to that he ought to have. I mean, Hashem could have just given it to him because it was already nigzar. He could just easily, just as Hashem goes to that a person should have X, Hashem could actually give the person X. But he created this animal called work, called ishtadlus, called a career, that forces the person to have to make choices along the way to see if he'll get to that goal b'derech heter or b'derech hester. That's the sort of the chol kavos. Incredibly fundamental. Now, there are a lot of nafkaminas that come out of this. We mentioned before that I said before that I might know maybe one tzaddik in the mirror who perhaps might not have the regular gedarma of, obviously, a person's level of requirement to do his tzaddis and not have to do his tzaddis and not have to do his tzaddis might be totally on the person's own independent level, but there's one person in my mind who might not need hishtadlus so much. Where am I coming from? Chol Tavos says, based on what we just said, there are two points for a person to have to work. First person is to keep a person busy so he's not chote. Second point, Chol Tavos says, is to provide the opportunity, the arena, for a person to have bechira and choose the tov to reach the needs that he has, that Hashem would go to, that he ought to reach, that he can reach. And to do it, b'derech ha'motzer, not b'derech ha'eser. That's Chol Tavos. A person with tremendous tzaddik, and he goes through all the milas that a person has to be on this level. If he uses his time well, and he's not going to run out, the first thing was to keep him busy, and not he shouldn't be running after his tivus. If anyway he's not the kind of person who runs after his tivus, that reason to have to work falls away. The second reason is that to provide an arena for bechira to make sure that he gets there b'derech kosher, not b'derech that's not kosher. Well, if a person has a reputation, has a history, he's always doing things in the right way, and he's always getting there in the right way, and his yetzer hara is not, his need for bechira is minimized because he's doing pretty well, he has a good track record, the second need for hishtadlus goes away. Such a person has no need for hishtadlus, says Chavos HaVar. Therefore, such a person will have whatever he needs coming to him without hishtadlus. How does it get there? That's not for me to ask, that's for Hashem to answer. That's the yisod that the Chol HaSavos tells us, that a person is on a tremendous tzaddik. There's no need to keep him busy, and there's no need to give him the bechira because he has proven himself as being bocher b'tov. He has no need to work. That's one nafkamina. A similar echo to this might be a Rambam that some of you might have heard before. The end of Shemitah V'Yovel. The Rambam says that just like the Levim were provided for by all of Klal Yisrael, the Trumos, the Maestros, the Maeser, Maeser Sheni. Maeser Rishon, as a means of supporting them so they could dedicate their lives to Klal Yisrael. So too, the Rambam promises anybody who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah in its greatest extent and the yoke of responsibility to Klal Yisrael, teaching Torah in its greatest fullest extent, he has permission to throw his yoke upon Hashem, just like the Lashon's Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad have this substance coming from Hashem. Any person who chooses, who wishes, can. It's a little mashma from the Rambam that you don't have to be this great tzaddik. Chol Tavos is mashma that you have to be on a tremendous diet good to not need hishtabas. The Rambam sounds like, as long as you're willing to make that jump, you might not be on the greatest level where you are right now. But the Rambam is perhaps mashma, that if you're ready to take that jump, and it's a big jump, it's a very big jump, and you have to do it with intellectual honesty and with integrity, but if a person's ready to make that jump of saying, I'm going to dedicate my life to Hashem, Hashem will take care of him. So that idea is reflected. The Rambam, Kol HaKavolos, these are already shown. This is where our Hashkafas come from. And that's clear, but obviously that's for a very small population, if any, with Man Hazeh. Now, how does a person choose what field to go into? I mean that whether it means, if I want to go into Klei Kodesh, should I be a Rav, should I teach elementary school, should I teach high school, should I teach adult education, should I go into Kiruv? Or if it's not in the Klei Kodesh, should I be a lawyer, should I be a doctor, should I be an accountant, should I be should I be involved in finance? Chovos Talavos, again, the same shtick where he talks about these ideas, and Shari B'Tochim Perek Gimel tells us the secret. He says, I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to figure out what your job is supposed to be. It's a three-step process. They all involve getting to know yourself. Knowing yourself very well. I remember hearing from Volder Zatzal, as I was with Vayi this summer in Yerushalayim, but I remember hearing from him. Where did I hear it? I heard it, I think in the mirror. He used to give a shir, shmuz every second week, and I think in the mirror I heard him say the following. The greatest avera that a person could do is not getting to know yourself. I think that's what he meant by that. Probably is along some the point of that you can only do your mission in this world is if you know who you are and what your mission ought to be. So if your whole task is to fulfill whatever mission, and you don't know who you are and what that mission ought to be, so how could you fulfill it if you don't know what it is? That's my perception of what it means, but that's what he said. Three steps, says the Chol HaTzavos. First of all, a person has to analyze his physical makeup. So nowadays it's a little less nogea, but still somewhat. Should you be a construction worker or not? Should you be those guys who, hold those every pneumatic, those pneumatic, those strong pneumatic drills? So if you're a 98-pound weakling, that's probably not the job for you. If you're, a 250-pound linebacker, that, maybe that's appropriate. That's the first thing. Look at a person's physical body. Second thing, which in our jobs, where we live in a mostly white-collar society, is a little more nagel. Look at your own intelligence, and his lashon is hakara. Which could mean intelligence, we could call it a person's intellectual makeup, his emotional makeup, however you want to define it. For example, I know that I could not be a good truck driver. I might be a good driver, but I would just be too bored. My mind has to move. I have to think. My mind has to be active. So I know that I can't be a truck driver. And I know that I can't be a mathematician, because if I work with numbers all day, I'll go crazy. I can't be an accountant either. I like schmoozing with people, so I became a skamashkia. If a person doesn't like schmoozing with people, he hates people. It's like, or how did I hear? A friend of mine once pointed out, like, what did he say? I love humanity. It's just people that I don't like. So if a person has that attitude, so maybe he should be a truck driver or an accountant or a computer. Meaning, a person has to evaluate where his intellectual dash emotional kohos abilities, not where his no-tail lie. Third aspect, and this is the most brilliant. That those two are obvious. Third aspect, this is. I don't want to say it's nevuah, but it almost sounds like nevuah that the Chol HaTzavos, the Bechai, suggests. Listen to this yisod. Says Rabbeinu Bechai in the Chol HaTzavos that every animal instinctively has an atiyah towards a certain food. Cats, for all generations, have eaten mice. In fact, if you go across the street, in the bodega, right there, there's a cat there. The reason why they have cats is because if you have cats, you don't have mice. If you go through Washington Heights, you'll see every supermarket has cats, and they feed the cats, and they take good care of the cats. In the basement of my building, there are cats, and the superintendent takes care of those cats. For this reason, because if you have cats, you won't have mice. Not only that, this is not in Washington Heights, this is the mashal that the Chol HaTzavos gives. 800 years ago, whenever it was, I don't know if it was 11 or 10, whatever it was, when the Chol HaTzavos wrote this, he said, cats eat mice. Squirrels eat acorns. This he doesn't say, this I'm saying. Squirrels eat acorns. Why? Were they trained? Did they nurture nature? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Chol HaTzavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notei into every animal a netiyah tivit, a natural instinct, a natural tendency to like a certain food. Al derech zeh, says the Chol HaTzavos, listen to this, it's kimat nevuah. Al derech zeh, Hashem is noteya belev kol echad v'echad, a certain ahava, a certain natural netiyah, a certain natural tendency, more than a tendency, a pull almost a desire to be involved in a very specific field. It could be some people, not just should I be a salesman or should I be a doctor? I think, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in a while, if I should be a salesman for this or for that, should I be there's a big difference between a computer salesman and a used car dealer. It's a very big difference. But even that, a person has metias. A person has to look within himself and see where he's pulled. And that is kimat, it's almost, I'm saying, this idea is kimat a nevuah of the chosavos, but that which he's granting us, he's empowering us with almost a koch of nevuah within ourselves. We could figure out in the olden days, perhaps, when we had the shoftim, the oatzim, kvarishana, so a person would say, go to the Navi, knock on the door, hi Navi, my name is Guri, what's my task in the world, what should I do? It's easy as that. Unfortunately, now I don't have that. Davud Raham explains, this is pshat in the tefillah. Hashiva shoftena kvarishana, the oatzena kvatzil, let us have all those Shoftim, the Yotz, and the people to advise us. Why? Not, and also be Vahatim and many of Gamanacha. Through having these people to advise us, Al Yedei Kach, through that, automatically, Hatsim and many of Gamanacha, will be all the pain and the confusion that accompanies the confusion because we don't know what to do. Because when we had counselors with the capital C, Yotzim, the Shoftim to Nevi'im, to tell us how we, what our goals, what our Tachlis HaChaim is, where they would look into our premius and see what we're supposed to do, they would tell us. But now we don't have it, so we have confusion, we have pain. That's what we daven for. That's part of what the Gula is going to bring, is that nevuah, which will bring that clarity to our own individual goals. So how does the person decide what career? Obviously, it's a lot harder than I made it sound. Look at your physical makeup. The person looks at his intellectual, emotional makeup, and he tries to feel out. He tries really to dig down beneath all the desires for the other things that he wants, for wealth and for not wealth, where the person pulled. And where a person is pulled, says the Chovetz Chaim, he should stick to that. Good times, bad thoughts. Excuse me, lawyers could be millionaires and lawyers could be unemployed. The Gemara says, Mefurish, Ein ha'anius min ha'umnus. Poverty is not from a specific profession. Ein ha'ashius min ha'umnus. And wealth is not from a specific profession. Wealth is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. It could come to present with a specific profession, without that specific profession. But the fact that a person has a well-paying profession does not define that he will be well-paid. That message of the Chovetz Chaim. Somebody pointed out to me this afternoon when he saw my sign, that a sign that he had heard from, I think he had heard from his Turski, that, which is basically the same yisod that the Chovetz Chaim articulates at the conclusion of this piece. He said that Chazal says that a person has to use this career that after he figured out what he ought to do, he has to use that job that he has, that work, that hishtadlus, as the tzinar through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be mashpia, that shefa bracha, that taktiv that he was going to on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem was going to that already. He needs an excuse to take that taktiv, that allotment that he already allotted 4 months ago. He needs an excuse to put that allotment on you. What's that excuse that Hashem could? It's not coming from the job. It's coming from Hashem. What's that excuse that a person that Hashem could have to take that allotment that he was going and put it on you? That's your job. Through that job, that's the tzinor, the pipe that enables the person to get the shef from Hashem. Now, if a person assumes that it's coming just from the pipe, meaning he disconnects that pipe from its source, from the shepherd where the shepherd comes from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is it? A pipe that's not attached to the faucet. Nothing comes through that pipe. The shepherd Baruch Hu won't come. To have the hishtadlus without the bitachon, without the perspective of where it's coming from, that's missing in what the hishtadlus is, and there's no guarantee that bracha will come. This mindset that the Chovetz Chaim presents to us manifests itself in numerous nafkaminas. We mentioned one person is a tzaddik, which again is not no gaya for us. We're all in the sugya where we do have to do our hishtadlus. And whatever we see after we decide what our profession is, and it's not always so easy to define and to figure it out, and suddenly helps to speak to people and to seek counsel where a person should direct himself. And sometimes it's trial and error. You all know he's my brother after he got smicha here went to teach for a year, and he found that teaching wasn't his thing, and he went into computers, and Baruch Hashem, he went to computers, and he had a seder after shachas every morning, and he had a 2-hour night seder in the Beis Medrash right here with one of the top guys in the Beis Medrash every night, regular night seder like all of you have, and for years and years while he's working in computers. Sometimes trial and error. if a person realizes that the need for working is nothing more than a hishtalus for Hashem to lavish Shefer Bracha to bichal on him, in other words, that the working is just an opportunity for him to exercise his bechira to reach a set goal of whatever his taksiv is, and he can get it from here or through here, so it's just a matter of getting, Hashem is saying the setup up so that he'll get it to the right direction, the fine akuminas come out. The Chavetz Chaim Paskins, Hilchos Lashon Hara, that if a person is in a working environment where they speak Lashon Hara and there's nothing he can do, he can't walk out, he can't tell them maybe you should try to stop, he can't, he's not in a position to do machiach, what does he have to do? He has to quit his job. You're not allowed to, your job is not, does not permit you to be violating Yisurim D'oraisa, which Kabbalah Lashon Hara certainly involves. Providing that's Kabbalah Lashon Hara, which whatever Tanam are involved there. But not so extreme. Person has to violate Yisurim, whatever they might be, for his job. So if a person realizes that the whole reason why he needs to work, why there's an institution of Hishtas, of work, is only to be the arena for Bechira to happen, to show Hashem that you'll get what you need, B'derech Heter, and you're getting it through, and you're getting it through Derech Isser, there's obviously no need to do that kind of Hishtas. Another Nafkamina, which is very comforting, not no get to us so often, but let's say a person has a business and he suffers a loss. Right, you bought 1,000 menorahs before Hanukkah, and you thought you were going to sell them, and you left with 350, and you lost a lot of money. Right, it could happen. So like, unless you get on consignment, then it works out better. But if you don't get on consignment, you suffer a loss. Right, so what are you? You're depressed. You lost a lot of money. Says if you realize that anyway, your chos hishtalos is nothing more than getting what anyway you're going to get, and what you're supposed to get. You did your chos hishtalos, that loss was just programmed in that was supposed to be part of the deal. So a person is not going to be sad if they suffer that loss because they realize that it wasn't that they messed up. If they messed up, they messed up. But if a person did their Shabbos and they suffered a loss, a guy borrowed money in the goings of business and didn't pay up his debt, a person suffered a loss. So if it's all within the person's Shabbos, then it was, you know, it's just doing what I have to do so that Hashem can give me my bracha, Hashem will give you that bracha because you did your father's Shabbos. Another nafkamina. This is a fascinating psak that Rav Moshe Feinstein was posting, which the Minigolem is not like that, but I'm almost scared to say it because I don't remember if I saw it inside or not, so please don't repeat it. It's certainly not in my name. I believe that I might have heard, possibly, let me preface it with that Rav Moshe Feinstein passing that a person should not become a doctor. Said Rav Moshe Feinstein, how could it be that a person has to do so much hishtalos that he can't learn for 5-6 years? And in my shir, I have guys who are taking organic chemistry, and it's true. A person who's taking organic chemistry, to have a nitzit is not a pashut thing. It's not a pashut thing. How could it be, says Rav Moshe, that person, and it's more than 4 years, it's not just medical school, it's not just taking physics and chemistry and organic chemistry and genetic in college, and it's not just the resident, you know, afterwards you have to take 24-hour shifts. How could it be, says Rav Moshe, that a person, that Hashem is mechayev a person, says this is what you should do, when there's no learning, when a person can't learn for 6-7 years, meaning if he's not going to learn for 6-7 years, when is he, you know, when will he learn? That, again, the middle is not like that. Most poskim certainly, some where we come from, and even now where we come from, I know in someone specifically, yes, David Cohn, in fact, it was even a woman. There are some David Cohn, because I go to medical school, and he said certainly yes, but.
He never said you should learn.
Oh. 100%. Right, a person has to learn whatever the circumstances will be. But Rav Moshe felt that to put a person in a circumstance where it's kimat impossible, where a person learns, not enough to impossible, where a person's time is so incredibly taxed, where it's so hard to achieve greatness in learning, let's say like that, it's hard to imagine that Hashem would say, this is what I want to use. Again, that was I'm just trying to illustrate a point, I'm not telling you that's the halacha, certainly, that's not the minute that we're no hey. That's certainly not the rove, stock of rove poskim. But that's a thought to just bring to the forefront of our minds the role of hishtadlus in achieving a person's goal. I want to sort of wrap things up a little bit, just describing this mindset. We perceive. Let's talk about a piece of wood. Let's talk about a stender. We have a stender right here. So there's a nail, right here there's a nail. Now how did the nail get in? There is a point, I'm sorry, how did the nail get into the wood? Because the nail has a point, the point went into the nail. The point of the nail went into the wood. How'd that happen? Because there was a bang on top of the point, on the head of the nail. There was a bang. Now how did that bang happen? Because there was a hammer that banged it. The hammer banged it because there was a hand that swung it. Behind the hand was a person who decided to swing it. So there are about 5-6 levels there. Now, that's the mashal, nimshal. A person gets his paycheck from his boss. His boss could be, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva, because he's a Rebbe. The boss could be the boss because he has a boss. The boss could be, you know, his client because he has his own business. Whoever it is, he gets his money. That's like the wood getting the point of the nail. Now, where did that come from? It came from his boss. And it came from his boss, who come from the CEO all the way from there. A person has to realize that it all comes, the wood didn't get that nail just from the nail. The wood got the nail because there was somebody behind the point of the nail, behind the head of the nail, behind the hammer, behind the hand. There was some mind, some idea, some person who decided to bang the nail into the wood. Similarly, when we get whatever we get, we have to keep in mind it came through a certain channel to which it ultimately reached us. But that channel came from someone, came from, ultimately, it came from Hashem through numerous channels to reach us. What's an afkamina from this perspective? Well, if a person is going to daven, does he daven, should the wood daven, please Mr. Nail, don't go into me? Or should the wood daven, please Mr. Carpenter, don't bang a nail into me? Similarly, when we want to do our hishtas, should I say, Mr. Boss, please give me a raise? We should. But that it shouldn't stop there. It should say, Hashem, who controls the boss of all bosses. You know, we could have a new lashon. In the old days, it used to be Melech, Malchim, Malchim. The other days, we could say, Hashem, boss of all bosses, please give me a raise. Because Chazanish said like this, it's an incredible perspective, just, again, twist the way we think about things. The Ikur Hishtadlus is Tefillah. Not the Ikur Hishtadlus. The Ikur Hishtadlus, the stuff that you have to do and be active in is Tefillah. Because with this perspective, we realize that ultimately, it all comes from Hashem. Again, it doesn't mean you don't have to do what you have to do. And you have to work, and when you work, you have to do it properly, you have to do it honestly, and you have to take advantage of the mitzvot that are involved in the loyalty of a worker for an employer. A person has to prepare himself appropriately. If a person wants to be whatever he wants to be, and he has to take the college courses and the graduate school, whatever a person has to do, he has to do, because that's part of the chovas hishtalis that he has to do. But in that chovas hishtalis, there has to be two things. That it has to be done by derech heter, and also that it has to be with the recognition that ultimately everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, just to close, we started with the idea that Yaakov Avinu, when he had his dream, before when he left the Beis Medrash, when he left Shem Ve'Ever after his 14 years of learning, he had to have a dream to sort of prepare himself how he's going to meet the struggles of Parnassah, the struggles of 22 years of Beis Lavan, working. He had to have a dream. There had to be a pause. There had to be a conscious pause where he is now, before he's in that world. Eitz HaTova, an idea that this person that I mentioned to you half an hour ago did when he was in Columbia University. Sit down. Intercession's coming up. It's a wonderful time to do a little bit of not just learning and davening, but a little avodas Hashem also. Sit down, take a few minutes, think about how you want to picture yourself in 10 years. Do you picture yourself as a guy who's going to learn Daf Yomi? Do you picture yourself as a guy who's never going to miss a minyan? Who's never going to miss chakras? Just describe for you, even write it down, how you picture yourself, how you want to picture yourself. Are you going to be the guy who's going to learn 2.5 hours a night and 20 minutes of Mishnah Berurah after chakras? Or not? Whatever it is, you decide who you want to be in 10 years. And write it down for yourself and create for you an image while you have things with a certain clarity now. And hopefully that clarity will carry you. And that's Hashem, we should all be zocha tatzlacha in the hishtalis that we have now during finals. And ultimately, for all the hishtalis that we have to make in the future. Good night.